Corinthians today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I've been looking a lot at this subject throughout the year, so you're going to probably hear some things I've said before, but bear with me. I'm trying to understand the idea of thinking and what we think and how important it is what we think to our lives. I had a hard time coming up with a title, but I call it Guarding Our Thinking. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it reads, am I in the right place? Let's try 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, which is referring to the devil, or Satan, who is referred to as the god of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The working translation of this is verse 4 reads, in whom the god of this age has blinded the thinking processes of the unbelievers, so that they do not distinctly see the radiance of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So referring to Satan having blinded the thinking processes, and that's what the Greek words mean, of people who don't believe. So they can't get to God's word. And I got to thinking about that. I was like, how do you blind someone's mind? How do you blind somebody's thinking process so that you make them think the way that you want to think? How does one accomplish that, right, in life? And it's very simple. It's a passive way of doing it, because if I was to come to you and say, you should believe this evil thing, you would say, go home, Raj, read your Bible. Because that's stupid, right? But if I was to tell you something regularly, you know, indirectly, over a long period of time, I could probably get you to think the way I want you to think. It's more of a passive approach to getting someone's mind blinded. You can't blind someone directly, but you can blind them by consistently giving them information that is wrong. And after a while, we start thinking that way, and then the mind gets blinded. So if you hear something enough, this is what I'm saying. Look at John chapter 9. This is a great record that we're going to read today in John chapter 9. Because I think that for the most part, people, generally speaking, tend to believe and think pretty much what everybody else believes and thinks. And that seems to be a pattern in life, because very rarely do you see people buck the trend, if you will, you know, go against what everybody believes. And generally, if you go against what everybody believes, you feel out of place. You feel ostracized, and you feel like you don't belong. Right? Well, I mean, we know Jesus Christ lived a life of not belonging. Right? He did not belong. He was a very much of a disturbance, if you will, to mankind, right? He was different. It was a different thing, right? And that's why I'm always very, very concerned about thinking and the thinking patterns of society and the things that people in the world want us to think. I'm always concerned about that, because probably they're not accurate. Right? Generally speaking, I do not believe society is set up to make us think God's word. I'm probably going out on a limb here when I say that, but. John chapter 9, verse 1. We're going to see two kinds of blindness in this record. So watch for the two kinds of blindness that take place here. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? It's interesting, they would ask the question, since he was born blind, how could he have sinned nor become blind? They did that because they believed in reincarnation. Right. He sinned in his last life, is what they were saying. That's why he was born blind, right? You see, that was a common thinking back then. Completely not true. But that's what they thought. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. Why? And made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And we know that there are how many records? About five records in the Gospels about Jesus Christ healing blind men, and they're all different. So why would he do it this way? Because he always did the Father's will. That's what God told him to do, and he did exactly what God told him to do. Another case, he didn't do it that way. Right? He always walked with the Father. Verse 7, "And said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Why? Because God told him to tell him that. "Which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing." Wow. He was born from his birth. He had never seen before. And Jesus told him to do this, and he came seeing. And this is a wonderful man. This guy is just a wonderful man. Right? We'll see. Verse 8. "The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, Well, he's like, kind of like that. I'm not sure. He's like him. But he said, I'm he." He's great. He's so honest in this record. He's completely straightforward, nothing to hide, and he's completely innocent. He goes, Of course I'm him. Verse 10, "Therefore said they unto him, How were your eyes opened? And how come you can see? You couldn't see before. How could you be him? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus," I love this, "called Jesus, made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight." So simple. I mean, the word of God is so simple. God told Jesus Christ exactly what to do. He told the guy, just go wash your eyes in the pool, and you're going to see. Did the man have to become unblind, or did he just have to do what Jesus told him to do? He just had to believe the word given to him. He said, do this. You see, when you have a need and you get the word of God for that need, all you got to do is believe what that word says. You don't have to be the one that brings it to pass, right? You just believe it, and God brings it to pass. As we heard in manifestation study, this is exactly what we heard. God is the one who brings his word to pass. Right? So here, he told the man, go wash your face. And he said, and I love it, explained it. Well, I was there, a man of Jesus told me to do this, I went to the water, and I came to see. That's exactly what happened, right? Very simple. Verse 12, "Then said they unto him, Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." Why didn't he didn't see him, right? He couldn't see when he went to the pool of Siloam, and he came back seeing, and he wasn't there anymore. He'd never seen Jesus. He had never seen him, which is kind of neat. It comes up later in the chapter. "They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day," right? Which is a no-no to be doing work on the Sabbath day. When Jesus made clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, "He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see." But by this time, he could have made the tape, right? Just play this tape and see what happened. "Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." See, they had no concern for this man that had been blind from his birth and was now seeing. See, I was telling you, I get concerned about prevalent thinking in society, right? What was the thinking in the society that would make people think that way, right? Somehow, these people had arrived at the point where they could not be thankful for a miracle of God that had been shown on a blind man. And they thought they were right. You see, that's how Satan blinds the minds of people. It's systematic. You can't tell someone right off, go ahead, be a Pharisee, never believe in what. No, systematically, you get to a point where you start thinking. I mean, I read this and I go, I can't believe they said this. I mean, what would you, I mean, the man is like, wait a minute, I'm seeing here. Don't you guys know that I've seen? They go, well, that man wasn't of God because he did it on the Sabbath. Right? It's interesting. It gets worse. Where are we? Verse, okay. He keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Some of them were kind of like, well, that doesn't make sense. You know, he's doing miracles. How could he not be of God? Right? Then, verse 70, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. Now they're saying, well, we don't believe you ever were blind. Right? I mean, to me, this is an amazing, amazing record of the way people think in life. Right? Unwilling to accept the power of God. Right? I tell you, when you speak to somebody about Jesus Christ, you come across this kind of thinking very regularly. Right? But how did people get there? The Bible, we just read it. Satan blinds the minds of them that believe not. He blinds their minds. Right? So we as believers, we'll see in a verse later, have to be very careful to not think the way society wants us to think. And they, okay, verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Now they're going to go to his mom and dad because they don't believe the kid or man as he is. He's a man. And they asked him, saying, verse 19, and they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? They obviously had no desire to believe the man. Right? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. Good. That's good. You know, that's good. That's a good thing. This is our son. Thank you for, you know, confirming that. And that he was born blind. We confirm that. Verse 20, but by what means he now seeth, we don't know. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him, he shall speak for himself. He said, no, you can ask him. He's a man. He can speak for himself. And the next verse is troubling, right? We know the verse. Verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So did they know how he had been born, how he had been healed? Yeah, they sure did. So what kind of thinking in the world makes parents not be thankful that their son who was born from blind from birth was now healed and that they cannot confess that? Right? It's frightening, isn't it? To me, it's shocking that somebody could get to the point of actually thinking that way. But that's what the adversary does. Here, the Jews have said, if you don't do this, you're going to put out of the synagogue. You can't buy bread. You can't do all these things. You're out. And yet they would rather, you know, let you keep your finger here. I want to read you a verse from where are we? In John chapter 12, verse 42. Unless we should think it's just the parents who think this way. Look at John 12. We'll come back there in a second. Verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. Many believed on Jesus Christ. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Others were in the same boat, right? For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus then cried and said, you know, it goes on and says, how can you believe if you think that way? Right? So it wasn't just these parents in this particular chapter. Society was thinking this way. Right? See, the adversary had gotten people to think that way because that was not godly thinking, was it? Right? There's no way. They were supposed to all have been waiting for the Messiah. Right? And here he was, and yet they refused to believe him. And I look at this record from the point of view of there's something in the world that I hear on a regular basis from TV news or other movies or songs and things that he's trying to get me to think a certain way. Maybe that I don't have what the Bible says that I have in Christ Jesus. Maybe I don't have the ability to heal. Maybe God doesn't answer prayers. Are there things that the adversary is trying to say on a regular basis to us that would get us to think the way these people were thinking in life? Verse 23, back in chapter 9, 23. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again, called they the man, you're going to ask him again, right? That was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Right? He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no. I love this. He's so simple. Whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. All I know is that I was blind, but now I see. Right? I mean, they couldn't see the bare fact of the deliverance of God, but he could. He was like, I don't know what kind of man he is, but I can tell you for sure, I was blind, but now I see. And that's the same thing, you know, we tell people. They go, well, I don't know about this Christianity stuff. I don't know about you. I don't care what you think. I know this once, long time ago, I was blind, but now I see, right? Because of Jesus Christ. So that's the same, you get the same response. Ah, it's just a bunch of crap. Right? We don't believe that. You know, Jesus was just a man, didn't do anything, you know. The same thing happens today. But, you know, we can respond the same way. The very simple truth the man responded with. I don't know about him. All I know is that I was blind, but now I see. I'm thankful to God for that. He says that in verse 26. Then said they to him, again, what did he do to thee? I mean, how open thine eyes? He answered them and said, look, I've told you already. He's getting tired of this. And you didn't hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you be his disciples? Will you believe him? Are you going to believe him if I tell you the third time? Right? Like, I already told you. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We believe in Moses, right? You know, who did Moses talk about was coming someday? Jesus Christ. He said, someday God is going to raise up a prophet like unto me, and him shall you hear. And they're saying, we're Moses' disciples. They weren't really hearing him, were they? We know that God spake unto Moses. As to this fellow, we know not from whence he. We don't believe God spoke to him, right? We don't know where he's from. The man answered and said, well, well, here is a marvelous thing. I love this guy. He blesses me. He goes, hey, well, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. He said, I can see because of him. He said, you guys can't see who he is. Verse 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Right. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? There is no such record in the Bible. This man knew that, right? He knew that. He goes, this is something that has never happened before. And you guys can't believe that he's of God. I can just see the poor guy. Verse 33. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? Now you're going to teach us? And they cast him out. They chucked him out. And said, the heck with you. We don't want to talk to you. You see, again, I'm not looking at this record from the point of view of I'm looking at the point of view of what gets people to think that way. I don't want to ever be guided by any kind of false thinking inside. I want to think what the Word of God thinks. And we should be concerned that our thinking is based on what the Word of God thinks, not what people inside think. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Isn't that great? Jesus Christ, he hadn't seen him, right? But he heard that they had cast him out. And what does the Lord do? He goes and finds him. He goes, look, he says, and cast him out, and when he had found him. So who does Jesus Christ look for? He looks for those people who are cast out by society, right? The man, they chucked him aside, so he goes and finds him. I love this. He said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He asked the man. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? He didn't know. He hadn't seen the Lord. He didn't even know that was him, right? Because he was blind when he got healed. He answered and said, who is the Lord that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. I can't imagine what was going through the guy's mind here. Like, he goes, wow, right? You're him. And what is he respond? And he said, Lord, I believe. Right. See, it wasn't hard for him, yet for those who had been blinded. See, two kinds of blindness here, right? One, very physical blindness. Jesus Christ healed it. The spiritual blindness, no matter what Jesus did, he could not heal it in those people, right? It was that deep. The blindness was so deep, he couldn't heal it. Right? But this young man,
I believe.
As soon as he heard Jesus, I believe. What a great record. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto them, are we blind also? Right. And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore your sin remaineth. He goes, you know, if you admitted that you need a Savior, if you admitted that I am the Messiah, you would. But you guys already think you know it all, right? And you're going to stay blind, right? Look at Romans chapter 12. I love that record. It says a wonderful record. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. We know this verse. Be not conformed how? And the working translation of this says, do not be fashioned by this age. Right? You're fashioned by the age, as opposed to fashioning yourself according to the age. It's a passive thing. You know, you see it in kids all the time. Why do kids wear certain kinds of clothes, certain kinds of shoes, certain kinds of, you know, certain hairstyles and certain, you know, why does that happen? Right? Is that what he's talking about here? Hairstyles, shoes, clothes? I think not. Look at verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about our thinking. Do not let our thinking be fashioned by the thinking of the age. So it must have been a real problem, because he says on the flip side in verse 2, if you think according to God's word, you'll see God's word work. And that record in John chapter 9 shows it so clearly. The man, he told him, just go do this. He goes and does it. Total deliverance. Those who would not accept the word and continue to be fashioned to the thinking of the age remained blind. They just stayed blind. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. You know, the thing that gets me in that record is they thought they were completely right. You know, it wasn't a matter of they were like, this is the way it is. That's just the way it is. Wow. That's blindness. Hebrews chapter 4. So how do you make sure that you don't get blinded, right? Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God is quick and powerful, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's the word of God. You dwell in God's word regularly, in a regular, consistent feeding on God's word, and the word will keep you straight. We allow the thinking of the age to be something we dwell on and continually feed on, and we will be fashioned to the thinking of the age. I can't tell you how many times I've read the word, and I just read it and go, oh man, I can't believe I've been missing that lately. I've not thought about that lately. And if I hadn't read it, or if somebody hadn't said something to me, I would never even thought about it. Right? Never, right? I've thought about it. It's interesting how powerful that is. You know, how many records do you know in God's word? There are a lot of them, where when the person went from one situation to another, the circumstances had not changed at all, right? But all that had changed was that person's thinking. That's it. You know, I'm sure you can think of many, many records. Remember the one whose daughter had died? You know, the guy who was going to the house, and they said, don't bother him anymore. She's dead. And Jesus said to him, don't you be afraid. Where are you afraid? Here. He said, don't you think that thought. Because he knew that if he had started thinking that way, the deliverance wouldn't have happened. Right? Powerful, just thinking. That's all it was. It wasn't like you know some amazing miracle of lights and fire, tornadoes and no, thinking. Just what they were thinking. That's all it was. When Jesus Christ told Peter about, he said, "I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised 3 days later." And Peter said, "Oh no, that's not going to happen to you." And Peter said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, because you're not thinking the thoughts of God." All it was thinking. He said, and he attributed that to serving the adversary and not serving God, because his thinking was wrong. Right? So do you know how important what we think is on a regular basis? What we think is so vital to our life. Right? Your thinking will change the way you live. You know, the adversary is defeated by the work of Jesus Christ. But what he can do, and which is what he tries to do now, is to make you think that you do not have what you have in Jesus Christ. That's what he tries to get you to do now. Right? Because he knows he can't get you if you're born again. He can't. But he can make you think that you don't have what the Word of God says you have and destroy life here. Right? We'll close in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians. I'm sure it's happened to you too. I mean, has it ever happened to you where you've been somewhere where someone says something and you go, "You know what? I never thought about that." I'm sure we've all said that. "You know what? I never thought about that." Which is a way of saying, "Well, I'm kind of glad you brought that up because I never had a chance to think about that." What if they hadn't brought it up? Right. You never thought about it. Right. So I think about what the Word of God says. If I never read God's Word or go to God's Word, I'm never going to think that stuff. I'm never going to see what the Word of God says is possible in my life if I don't go to it. You know, I haven't seen that many billboards that say, you know, "Just believe my word, God." Right. Usually you say things like, I don't know, I don't want to go there. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Well, let's read verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds," or mental fortresses is that word, "casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought to the obedience of Christ, to the things that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. You know, you just never stop confessing what the Word of God says. Right? Is another way of saying it for me. Thinking will determine where you go in life. The past is unchangeable, as we know. So there's very little to be gained by thinking about the past. The future will always be tomorrow. Right? And Jesus said, "Listen, you know, there's just way too much to think about today to worry about the future. Right? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Right? So the best that you can do on a moment-by-moment basis is decide to serve God with your next thought. It's living in the moment to say, "Right now, God, I want to serve you." Right? Takes the onus off worrying about the past or worrying about the future. You're not supposed to have any anxiety about that stuff. So what's left? The present. Right? The present. And our thinking, based on what the Word of God says, right, will determine the future. Right? Can't change the past. But you can certainly determine where the future is going to be in our lives by thinking now what the Word of God says. And if I don't know what the Word of God says in an area, I ought to find out. Right? If I don't take the time to find out, more fool me, right? But not taking the time to know what it is that I ought to think in a certain area of life, right? So guarding our thinking is vital to life. right? And if you, you know, if you have a chance to go through the New Testament and look at all the times where the word mind and thought and think and all this is used, you know, God was very much concerned about what we think in life, right? So let's guard our thinking to think what He wants us to think, His word.